We can turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And if you're visiting or you've been with us as we walk through this epistle, Paul has been instructing Timothy over these last 16, 17 verses about the loss of truth, some situations that were real relevant while Paul was writing to Timothy, trying to shepherd this church that he was left in charge of. But it also comes right down to us today, the same situations. And the encouragement that Paul gave to Timothy, I feel, is what the church needs more of. You know, do we need more, additions, extensions, sound? I think what we need is more encouragement with each other, from the pulpit, from the pews, the people that God puts in our path. It's the one thing that we truly do need in this time. And we look at Paul encouraging Timothy to just keep on going, press on, because there is a loss of truth. And we're looking at, you know, thousands of years ago. How about today? The loss of truth, you know, God's truth, not somebody else's truth, not what is assumed by anybody, is the same situation that you and I, as soldiers of the cross, if we would, because we're going to talk about warfare today, this is what we're fighting. The law of God was another thing that we saw that Paul was instructing Timothy on, and the law is important. The law, you know, teaches us, shows us. It's a schoolmaster. It's written in our hearts right now. But we kind of need that law, don't we, in a sense? And what I see in the churches is, for the fear of legalism, we shy away from it. And so we should, because we are under grace. But we need God's law to understand what's right, what's wrong. That's what tells us. It's like, you know, when you see that sign out there that says 20 miles an hour, you do 20, 40, 30. You know, we just need those little reminders. And that's what God's law is now. It's in there. Paul moved on within that first chapter, telling Timothy about the love of God. And I hope every one of us understands that's the foundation of everything. That's the reason why you and I are believers today. It's nothing we've done. It's nothing we have. It's because God loves us. He loves us. He wants to spend an eternity with us. He wants to get us ready to leave this world to be with him for that time. And if we ever can just focus on one thing in God's word, it's the fact that he loves us. And love will cover a multitude of sins. And that's why it's important. Don't think God does not love me. Don't think God might love someone else more than me, or that person is in a higher standing. There's nothing. I've said this for 40 some odd years. There's nothing we can do to make God love us any more. And there's nothing we can do to make God love us any less. He loves us. Because of those areas that Paul has been instructing, now he moves into his last command, if you would, his next instruction, which is to encourage Timothy to live a life of faith. And that's something, like I said, we don't need encouragement like, oh, you know, oh, that was beautiful, that worship was great. I mean, those things are good. There used to be a Calvary pastor named Romaine, and when the worship team, when they heard, you know, people would come up and pat them on the back and tell them how great they are, Romaine would slip into the middle of them and say, "You got nothing. You got nothing." And then you walk away. It's God. This life of faith, we've got to be encouraged to keep it up. You know, Diane was just sharing about what some of these ladies were going through that was shared at the woman's retreat. And these are the things that every one of us are assailed with day by day. Some of them might seem slight to one person. Others feel, you know, my burden is so heavy, I can't even bear this. You don't understand what we're going through. But we need the encouragement from other believers to keep on going. We can't stop. We can't quit. And that's what Paul was telling Timothy. Just keep going. It's not going to be that long. And if you're real honest with yourself, what brought you into church today? Everything that was out there in that world is what made most of us come to Jesus Christ. We realized it was just a dead end. It doesn't have the hope. It doesn't have the future. That's what brought us. So if we don't live a life of faith, if we don't continue as Paul was trying to encourage Timothy, and where else can we go? Like I said, most of us know we went to most of those places, and it's what ran us into the arms of Jesus Christ. So with that today, what we're going to see is, you know, Paul, this encouragement. Sometimes when we go through the situations that we're going through, it's real hard, isn't it, when somebody's telling you, oh, just hang in there, just keep going, oh, it's going to be all right. Oh, you know, sometimes that stuff in our humanness is overbearing for us, because my life right now, my trial, my situation that I'm enduring is so rough, you don't have a clue what you're talking about. But it is truth, and if it's God's truth, we can hang in there. And that's why I want to encourage myself first, and each and every one of you, don't give up. Let's keep going. We don't have that much longer. And if we've walked with the footmen and they've wearied us, how are we going to contend with horses? What happens when the real stuff comes down the pike? What happens when things get really, really serious? How are we going to stand unless we start preparing today? And that's what Timothy is saying. But he's telling them why. Somebody's saying, why should I? Why should I continue in this life of faith? It doesn't matter. Nobody wants to hear it. It doesn't matter. We see in churches falling and dropping like flies. We see pastors in the pulpits that were in there for years just falling to the lies of the world. Why should I keep living my life of faith? The answer to that last week, if you remember, was in verse 16. Why did God want Paul? Why did God want Timothy? Why does God want you and I? Why? Why does he want us? Because in 16 it told us, howbeit for this cause of God wanting to save sinners, that's what Paul was trying to get across, for this cause I obtained mercy. There's the whole crux of why I should live a life of faith. Why should I live a life of faith? I've had a crummy life, right? You know, I had habits and stuff just like all of you. And then, oh, yeah, okay, things got good, and that was nice, and I accepted Christ. But then our daughter dies, and then my brother dies, and we have to put his door. Why should I keep living a life of faith? Nobody wants to hear this out in the town. Nobody wants to greet us at times in the town. So why should I do this? I'm sure Timothy was asking that because he was under that same pressure. And the reason is that I obtained mercy. God dealt me the biggest hand of mercy that I've ever seen in my life, and because of that, I was set free. You, the same exact thing, if you're in Christ, that's why we serve him. Not for, you know, some great pie in the sky. The rewards are great, don't get me wrong. But we serve God because we obtained mercy. I should be dead. I should be in jail or whatever it might be. But God gave me mercy. I love him for that. Wouldn't you dance out of a court if you were supposed to spend the rest of your life in jail or maybe go to the electric chair or something and the judge say, you know, I'm going to set you free. I'm going to grant you all the mercy that I have in my power. Walk out. You wouldn't walk out. You'd dance out. You'd jump out. You'd be singing. That's why Timothy was to serve the Lord. That's why you and I. Let's read our text for today. Verse, and you know, and you can't miss 17. Paul is telling them about this mercy that he received and how God wanted to use him, a murderer. That's who Paul was, a non-believer in a sense. He didn't have any use for Jesus Christ. God not only showed him mercy for being who he was, but then God wanted to use him for a pattern. Remember? That's what God wants to use you for. In your little walk of this town or wherever you might be, God wants to use you as an example of his mercy and his saving grace and the love that he has for you. He wants somebody to see you and say, I mean, I can understand her, but why Dave? You know, because he's got a use for you. He's got a purpose for you. He's got someone that is going to just put you as that pattern, like grandma used to make dresses, on top of their life, cut away all the old garbage that was in there, and a beautiful, beautiful example of God's love is going to come out because of you. If we continue, God can never use us if we just quit and give up and walk away. So let's read from verse 18. But I said, you know, with that, Paul is saying, now unto, look, can you just feel Paul's heart towards his God because of mercy? And I would like to have mine there on a daily basis. Paul just, when he was writing this, I just felt like, was he yelling it out to the scribe that was doing this? Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Father God, this is your word. We're your children. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. Help us to have our hearts and our ears opened to your word today. In Jesus' name. So with that, Paul says in verse 18, this charge. Now, in some of your translations, it might say this instruction, does it?
Instruction.
This command. But it's a command. This is a command, not, you know, and in a sense, I want to, you know, Paul took freedoms at times. He said, I'm saying this, not the Lord. And he kind of says it here, this charge I commit unto you. But I think Paul was given that power by the Holy Spirit to pass that command on. And sometimes I think you can give one of you know, you're in a position of authority and some others are here too. But if you give a command, you don't have to give it right to that person. You can give it to one of your assistance, and he gives that command. That's how this is traveling down the ages to each and every one of us. Don't just, oh, this was just for Timothy. No, this is for Doug. This is for Pat. This is for Eileen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. And this, you know, it's not a contradiction. This was not his biological son. It was his son that he led Timothy into the faith of Jesus Christ. I charge you with this, my son Timothy, according to the prophecies that went on before thee. And you know, you want to think about that. There's been some of us are sitting here that there's been some prophecies made about you. Maybe grandma said something about you. Maybe mama said something to you before. Maybe somebody in some meeting might have said something. Don't ever forget those, even though they're 40 years ago, 45 years ago. I had a man tell me to, in the middle of a meeting, to get up and get a chair and put it in the middle of the room at this big conference, and he's telling me I'm going to be a pastor. I was a full-blown, one-week-old Christian heathen at that time. And I thought, this guy has lost his mind. And look, you know, where God's got a sense of humor.
I said, you're never going back there.
She said, you're not going back there. Anyhow, these prophecies which went before on you, see there, and God's got prophecies for you. He has set you. It's kind of like Jeremiah, I ordained you before the foundation. When you were in your mother's womb, I knew who you were, and I'm going to do this with you. So that's what he's telling Timothy, and we'll get to that, which went before thee, that by them thou mindest war a good warfare. What a buzzword in today's time, war, warfare. Some of you have in there, I think in your translations, that you might fight a good fight. What else? Is there anything else in a... Not words that we like. We don't like war. A lot of people, oh, we don't like war. Well, you know, it's because of war in a sense. It's, and the lives that were given, men and women, children, that you and I enjoy the freedom that we have today to stand here and openly preach the love of Jesus Christ. So where did this, you know, war, it's a money machine. Oh, I'm getting political now. Warfare, fighting, these are words that just kind of seem contradictory to who we're supposed to be. But this is not a fleshly war. This is not a fleshly fight. As we see in the churches, Christians fighting each other and eating one another alive. This is a spiritual battle that Paul is trying to tell Timothy about, and I know he's trying to pass that on to you and I, that you might, by these prophecies, by the fact that God has put mercy on you, by the fact that he wants to use you as an example in just maybe one other person's life, this is why I should live a life of faith, and this is why I should go into this. This is not a game. This is a war. This is a fight. Every believer's life, you know, maybe this is too much for some, but I feel every believer's life is a battlefield. you are going through something that you are either going to make it through this, maybe wounded terribly, but you're going to make it through, or you're not going to make it through at all. You're just going to be collateral damage. You're going to give up, walk away, thinking, why is this happening? This life that we're in as believers is a battle. It's a war. And that war is not against each other. It's not against the two other churches that are down the road. It's not against the Pioneer or whatever other, you know, emporium is, what do we call them, beverage centers, you know. It's not against them. Those are just, everything that's going on there was you and I before we came to know Jesus Christ. Our battle is against the enemy of our souls, Satan. Oh, that's what, oh, there they go, those Christians thinking Satan. Jesus Christ spoke of Satan more than anything else in here, and for us to be cautious. And I think this is why Paul was telling Timothy, it's why the Spirit of God is going to try to get into us and say, wake up, Doug. You're in a warfare. You're in a battle against an enemy that without me, you're helpless. Holding faith. He's telling them now how to do it. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. They just sunk. It just, because they didn't hold on to faith, because their conscience was seared with excuses, their faith got shipwrecked. It was just dashed on the rocks. That could happen to any one of us. Don't ever think it can't happen to me. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, and I'm sure you know these are names, but 2 Timothy, we'll get to it, chapter 2, 2 Timothy 4. I'm sure it was Alexander the coppersmith is who he's talking about, which you'll know in there, who really treated Paul pretty nasty. We can see them there, but we all know people, whether that's their name or not, we know people who, because they compromised a little here, because they were in a battle, they were in a fight, the enemy used every tactic that he could in this battle to try to destroy them, that they just backed up and said, well, it's not that important. It doesn't really matter. The gifts that I have, the Holy Spirit that I have, church isn't that important. I don't need to go there. Well, Bible study, I'm tired on Sunday morning. I can't go on Friday. They've made shipwreck of their lives because they didn't take into consideration that this is a war. Now, do you want to just, you know, get taken out today? That's up to you. I want to stick around a little bit, if that's what God's got for me. So I need to be trained. I need to understand, what part of this battle am I in? Every one of us are in it. Some are in it deeper than the other. Any military people, any paramilitary people, you understand that there are different troops, if you would, in that battle, in that war. There's guys sitting back in the, you know, the supply area. There's guys that are in there that are just delivering things. There's ones that are handing out uniforms. There's guys that are sitting in a trench wishing they had a set of socks. There's all different people. Don't ever think that this command is not to you. Don't ever think that this warfare is not for me. No matter who you are, no matter what you might think of yourself at this point in time, how smart I am, how many scriptures I know, blah, 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 you are important in this battle, and God needs to use each and every one of us. I want your minds, for some reason, this happened to me last night because you weren't home. I was searching Netflix. I would never do that with Pat home. You know, I'm not allowed to watch Fox after about 20 minutes, and I can't surf to see what's on. Rudy. Did anybody see the movie Rudy?
Yes.
I want you to, you know, just what has Rudy got to do with this? Rudy was this, in the movie, the teammate goes, why are you even trying to be on this football team? You're 5 feet nothing. You're 100 and nothing pounds. The one guy came over and pushed him out of the way, and he goes, you're just a tackling dummy for this team. Why don't you quit? And Rudy's answer to him was, if I quit, I can help you beat those guys next week. He was a tackling dummy. That's what they told him. But yet, he did his one thing at the end of that game, which most football players will tell you, it's not a game. It's a warfare. Most Christians who are really in the battle, trying to live a life of faith, will tell you, this is a fight. This is a battle. This is a warfare. Rudy finally got in there on one play, and it made the difference. You and I can make a difference in just one play. Don't think that this isn't for you and I. This is for us today, for whatever that battle, whatever that war, whatever that thing you and I are gonna face. So he turned them over to Satan. Wow, that seems like what? But he turned them over to Satan. He turned them over for restoration, not for isolation. When we try to encourage each other, when we see the opposition, just let God take care of it. We read Job, and that's exactly, nothing goes Satan to Doug. It goes God to allow him to touch my life in whatever way he might think I deserve as necessary to get me through. But there are times that we have to just say, you know what? Hands off, God, you do with that person. And in the meantime, we try to restore. We try to bring that person back into a fellowship, not just excommunication. So let's break it down. If I haven't done that already, look at 18. This charge, that word charge is the same as a command. It's a military term. We talked about that. But it's not an empty charge. Oh, I want you guys to go out there and do this. There's power behind it. Oh, go get the fire hose and put that house out, would you? I'm kind of busy over here. It's not that empty. When Paul says, I'm giving you this charge to fight this warfare, that charge was backed up by the power of God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, according to all these things that God had set in Timothy's life. We see those things in, I don't like going ahead, but skip to chapter 4. Of 1 Timothy. It's not just powerless. It's like I said, it's backed by the Holy Spirit. And today, when you walk into the battle that you've got to fight, when you're going to come against the enemy, whatever he's doing in your life, some of you in here today is probably ripping your life apart. And you're wondering, where is God? Well, God is right where he always is. He's on the throne. He's trying to get through all the noise, all of the explosions that are going on around us, and saying, I'm here. I know where you are. And what Paul told Timothy here, jumping ahead, he said, let no man despise your youth. Don't let in, here's Rudy again, that little guy from a factory worker that just had a dream of being a football player for Notre Dame one day. Don't ever let anybody say, well, I know who you were. I know what you're doing. I know, who do you think you are? He's telling him, don't let anyone despise your youth. Be an example. There's that pattern of a believer in word, in conversation. That conversation is our lifestyle. It's not just our words when we're around each other. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, bless you, brother. I'm blessed. Sorry. Well, you got that shirt on today. It's probably why it's in there. We just say this Christianese. Paul's telling Timothy, you be an example in your lifestyle, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come, here's how we fight this warfare we're in. Until I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in you. Each and every one of us who are a believer has the Holy Spirit in us. The question for me, am I neglecting his power in my life? Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes I draw on it as much as I can. I fall completely helpless and still know he's bringing me through it. Other times, we just say no. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to do that. I don't want that. I don't know why that happens. But what Paul is telling him is don't neglect the gift. Neglect, it doesn't take long. Neglect is just eats like a cancer after a while. You can have a beautiful, why does one person have a beautiful car? I've said this. Could be a 56 Chevy Nomad. Let's just use that, right? That's worth 80 to 100,000. It's beautiful. And then we can have another one that's sitting there and it's rusting and it's not running and the tires are flat. It's just neglect. It had nothing to do with anything else. And he's trying to instruct us, don't neglect the gift. Don't worry about who you are, Rudy. Okay? Is that what you want? You want God? You want God in your life? Don't neglect the gift I've given to you, and that is his Holy Spirit. By prophecy, with the laying on of hands, by the presbytery, meditate. Verse 15, buzzword in Christian, oh, meditate, oh, contemplating my navel. We all laughed about it, but what we, he's telling us, think on this stuff. How much do we sit around and think what I don't have, what I do want, what I'm not going to get, what that person did to me? Paul is saying the way you fight this war that you're in is meditate upon these things, all the things that he's just said here. Give yourself wholly to him. Not just half, not just a little bit. And see, that's the whole thing that I'm having trouble with after 40. God doesn't want just my Sunday 1 hour attendance twice a month. God doesn't want me to go to Craig's Bible study. God doesn't want me here on Friday. He wants all of me. And whatever that mounts to in your life, that's what God wants. Otherwise, it's neglect. What is he trying to do in you? What is he trying to say to him? Am I thinking about God, or am I thinking about all these other things, that tyranny of this world that presses us? Meditate on these and give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all, or in all things. Take heed unto yourself. Boy, don't we like to look at the other person, but we kind of forget what we might look like. We always say, well, if so-and-so did that, or what are they doing this? Or what the Spirit is saying in this war, that's one of the enemy's tactics. Trying to take friends and make them enemies. Trying to take the person that we think is against us in our mind and make it real. Take heed to yourself. Take heed. Start watching where we are, what we're thinking, what we're doing. And unto the doctrine. What doctrine? The doctrine. And the whole gospel is a gospel of love. Where do I stand in this? For in doing this, you'll both save yourself and them that hear you. Turn back, if you would. So Timothy was to war a good warfare. Underline that, if you would, and if you do continue to read throughout the week, start asking God, what's this warfare that I'm in? You know, wars, they're ugly, aren't they? And every war consists of a lot of little battles or skirmishes. It's usually not one big thing, boom, here it is, and everything's over. There are little battles, there's little skirmishes, and I think we have to start looking in this warfare. Where am I in this? What's my place in this? War, a good warfare, Doug. War, a good warfare, Pat. Start choosing our battle areas, where we're going. You know, if a guy is here in Colorado, his heart might want to be over in, you know, Iran today, but he can't just walk over there and get into that. Choose our battles. Choose the war that we're in. Sometimes we get so wrapped up on things that are going on that are not even going to last. Choose our battles wisely, and that way we can have that strength of the Spirit to fight the way that we should fight in this spiritual warfare. So Timothy was fighting this spiritual warfare, and if anybody in here today is trying to fight this warfare on your own, please, I'm asking you, give up. Give up. You'll never make it. Paul wasn't telling Timothy to fight this warfare, a good warfare, in his own ability. He was telling him to fight it with God's capability. And some of us are fighting this war. We're fighting each other. We're fighting people in town. We're fighting God. We're trying to just argue with him. We're not supposed to. We're just supposed to give our lives to him. Fight this warfare by the Spirit's ability. That changes things. I don't know if anybody's ever gone into those situations. You go into a situation alone, it's a little nerve-wracking, isn't it? Picture what that might be. But for me, some of those areas that I went in, when I knew my partner was next to me or behind me, there was nothing that shook us. We practiced. We went through things. We routinely did operations. And when the time came to go through a doorway, I knew Pete was there. Pete knew I was there. Nothing was going to deter us. We're not alone. We got the Holy Spirit. God's not sending you into anything, or he's not asking you and I to endure anything in our lives right now that he's not walking right there side by side with us, just like you've done. You've got that. You guys are firefighters. Walt, you were in the service. I mean, there's something about a team, isn't there? Every member of the team is the team. Do we understand that? And that's what we are here. We're not alone with God's Spirit, but yet we need each other to war this warfare. And this warfare that we're going against, again, it's not a physical one. It's a spiritual warfare. It's a war for the truth right now. What is God's truth? No one wants to hear it, but it doesn't lessen the power of God's word any. So you and I are to war a good warfare like Timothy was. It is one of the word of God, which, like I said, is losing its acceptance, but not its power. It's a truth war that you and I are in. It's not battling the things that are around us. It's standing for Jesus Christ to speak salvation to one more individual before we go out of the picture. Speak God's love to one more individual. That's all. In my little spot, in my little Rudy world of what I want to do for God. And God is, you know, I wasn't going to go here, but let's go to 2 Peter. This is serious. This war that we're in right now. You know, it's not, like I said, it's a war for people's souls. It's a war for the truth of God's word. It's a war of somebody that you and I might know or love. Will they be in eternity? And we need this truth because we're in a time right now that our children, the faith that they were raised in is getting ripped out from underneath them by a world that's eating their lunch day by day. That's a war. That's, you know, I know where my daughter is because she fought the fight. I know where my brother is because in his way he fought the fight. But there are people out there, and we've got people in our own families, that this war for truth is ripping them apart right now. They're being lied to in high schools. They're being lied to in colleges. They're being lied to in their places of work. And that's what you and I are to war a good war. Fight a good fight. Don't let your kids get absorbed by that. Would you? There isn't a parent in here. If you saw somebody slapping their child around, you'd be out there probably with 10 other people correcting that situation. That's what's happening in the spiritual realm. And that's why Paul is telling Timothy, fight a good fight, man. Don't just sit back there and, well if I was there, oh, I'd give him a hook on that one. No, I'd have kicked him right in the knee. We talk a great battle. But God is saying, fight this battle now, in my way, in my position, who I am, with the gift that I have of the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 3. Why did I have us go there? Because this battle we're in, this war that we're in, is real. And it was prophesied prior to this. So when I said it's a truth war, listen to these words. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you. And this is Peter writing, in both which I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Somehow we let things slip, don't we? We just forget about an awful lot of things. We forget about the promises that God has made to us. We forget about some of the things that are in here. And Peter and Paul, they're trying to stir up. And I want to be put back on fire. That you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophet and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days, and we are in the last days, scoffers walking after their own lusts. The battle that you and I are in is you must have something wrong with you. You believe in Jesus Christ? You believe he's going to just come in here and do this and do that? You really believe that Christ is going to return and you're going to get raptured and this? Do you? I want to yell, yes. Yes, I do believe this because I am surrounded by scoffers out here, and this is the battle right now, is that battle for truth. Your children, some of your family members are being taken captive by this war right now. Are we going to go in and get them out of there? They're saying, where's the promise of his coming? Well, I'll tell you where it is. It's right in here. One in every 52 scriptures speaks of Christ's return, his second coming. Do you believe that you're saved? That was just one little verse, wasn't it? One, John 3:16. Well, 52, every 52 verses, there's something about him coming back. when they're laughing at me, what's this return? You know, you're going to sit on the rooftop, buy new cars and houses and wait to get raptured. That's not what we believe. We believe he's coming back because he said he's coming back. We believe he's coming back because he said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to bring you back where I am so that you're going to be with me forever. So when these scoffers, here's the war, and it's a fight. You might even get into fisticuffs. Other nations, other countries, people are dying for this word. And yet we just keep our mouths closed. Where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. No, they don't. It's the old, oh, my grandma was talking about that. Well, praise God for your grandma if she was talking about Christ coming back. And remember that and pray about that. For this they are willingly ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, verse 6, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Genesis 7, you read it. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, don't be ignorant of this one thing. Don't neglect this, is what he's saying, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Why are we fighting? Why are we still doing this? Because, here's the answer, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why we're in this battle. Remember I said, you know, I received mercy. Well, why else should I fight? Why should I continue? Everybody else is doing whatever they want to do. Why can't I do this stuff? You can. Go do it. But your life is either going to be like you're a walking wounded, or it's going to be unsatisfactory until you get right in there and see what God has created you to do. And that's to just tell somebody, God loves you. He wants to spend eternity with you. Is God going to fix everything? You know, no. Addicts, I know addicts who believe, and they've died addicts. I know people who believed. I believed at that bedside as much as anybody, and it didn't work. But that's not what God is trying to get across to you and I. He's saying that there are people that won't hear my truth. You're going to have to go into this battle for me in your little area, your little family, your little workplace, over at the cooler. You're going to have to go and stand, as foolish as it might seem, that I love them. I love them. Is that hard? Somebody did it for you, didn't they? Somebody did it for me. One man told me about the love of Jesus Christ in my life. One man. Everyone else who tried to tell me about him, I threatened to throw one man out of a truck. I threatened to run over another guy. And one man had the backbone to tell me that God loved me and he could fix me. And here I stand today. And that's probably why you're right here. We're in a war for the truth. This is a battle beyond anything that you and I have ever gone into. Should I continue some more? Hold on to your faith. Why not? Come on. It's cold out and the Broncos already lost. It must be over by now. I got faith. They lost. I put a bet on that too. So no, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. So how do we fight? How do we fight? He just told him, if you're back in Timothy, how do we fight this fight? My gosh, you know, you can. How do you fight a spiritual battle? How, you don't know where it is. You know where it's coming from. Why is this happening? It comes out of nowhere. It's because it's not physical. We fight it, Paul told Timothy, by holding faith and a good conscience. Hold on to our faith. Don't get knocked off the path. Remember all the stuff that went on in your life that brought you to today. Remember how many times God has brought you through things. How many times, even though it didn't seem like he was really right there and caring, he was there, and I'm here today, and I'm putting one more foot in front of the other. A good conscience, knowing I did my best. Am I doing my best, or am I just making excuses? That's how we fight this fight. This is not in my power. This is not in my might, but it's in the power and the strength of his might. Why is that? Because we fight. Turn to Ephesians 3. This battle, like I said, I want to, if we hear anything, give our hearts to this. We're fighting a powerful enemy. And it's not, if it was just, you know, if it was opinion, anybody in here could take on the other person and win the fight. That's not what it's about. We're fighting a spiritual fight for truth that Satan doesn't want people knowing the love of God. He doesn't want people to understand the power of God. He doesn't want people to give themselves to that because he's a miserable being. So how do I get into this fight against this spiritual enemy? Each one of us, I said, turn to Ephesians 3. Paul was praying for them. I know he's praying for Timothy. I hope that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. It's not how many scriptures, how much money I give, how many times I go to church. The whole thing is God, his faith, his power, his might, his love for us, and the acceptance of prayer for each other in our lives. Listen to this prayer, that he would grant Doug, according, you put your name in there, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. We can go to the gym, we can pump iron, we could look at 70 years old like you might be 68, you know. None of that stuff's gonna matter. It's not going to matter. We need to be strengthened for this warfare. The training that we need is that we're strengthened in the inner man, the inner woman, that Christ in verse 17 might dwell in your heart by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend, to understand with all the saints what is the... Look at, in other words, these words, the breadth, the length, the depth, the height. This is what I need to keep going in this battle that I'm in, or else I'm going to give up, to understand how much God loves me. How much, do our arms go out enough? He did that. This is how much I love you, Pat. And he stretched out his arms and he died. But do I really understand how high that is, how deep that is, how wide that is? How big that is, and to know the love of Christ, ginosko, the Greek word to know. It's just, oh, I know, you know. I know Danny fixes cars. I know Danny knows heavy equipment. That's all I know. Danny has ginosko, if you would. He knows. He understands how to run a piece of heavy equipment, how to take something apart and put it back together and make it still work. There's a difference between knowing and knowing. Okay, and here's that prayer again, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Rudy, where are you? Stand up. What do you want to, he wanted to play. He wanted to play at Notre Dame. Period. That's all that kid wanted. What do you want to do? I want to go to Maui. You want that beyond anything? No, if God just for some reason said, hey, Craig, die, Doug, Pat, can't let you go this week, would we be willing to give that up? That we would understand that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all. Maybe he's just asking. I'm just using that as an example, of course, you know. But if we're willing, God could use us in that area. All that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen. And I'm going to turn, because this is not a joke. Ephesians 6. You're in a fight. It might be work. It might be finances. It might be health. It might be a loved one. Let's keep on. It might be an addiction. It might be a habit. It might be doubt. It might be fear. See, Satan has a lot of tactics. It might be appearance. What do I look like to people? What do people think about me? If I say this, Lauren, I won't be accepted in the high school group. She's not worried about it, trust me, one iota. But we all have those things that he assails us on, and this is the battle that can only be fought with the power of God His strength and His might. Ephesians 6:10 tells us this. I'm not making this up or trying to scare anybody, you know, that we're looking for a demon behind every doorknob. Finally, my brethren, and this will be my finally, maybe, be strong in the Lord. Now, here, you know, not in ourselves. I can't do that. I don't know if I can. Can He? Can He do whatever you're asking in your life? Can He? Well, then that's all you need. Just that, at least that assent to, yes, He can. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. See, Paul's been talking about being strengthened first in the inner man. If we're following where I'm going, and I'm having a hard time following the Lord myself this morning, but He's trying to strengthen our innards first, everything that's in here. The Holy Spirit is in me, not neglecting Him. Once the inner man, the inner woman is strengthened, we can start putting on the armor, can't we? But you try to put on the armor of God is like, you know, David and Goliath. Remember, you know, put on this stuff. No, I'm not proven for that. He knew that his body couldn't handle that yet, but he was trusting in the Lord. Once we're strengthened inside, then God gives us its ability to put on this spiritual armor, which you really can't feel. But trust me, you start putting this on, it's heavy. You better be in shape. And no gym will get us into this condition. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The methodia is the word in the Greek. It's he's playing you and I like a chess game. He's looking at you as nothing but a pawn, and he's trying to get to the king. And I'll get Dave with this one. I can get Doug with this one. Oh, this will really trick him. Oh, this one will. We're just being played as a chess game with the enemy, is what the Lord is saying. So we don't wrestle, that's that strategy, against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is a spiritual battle, is what I'm trying to get through. Don't ever lessen that in any way. Oh no, you know, the enemy of my life, Satan, he's not trying to do that. Yes, he is. He's trying to pull you away from the love of God. He's trying to pull you out of the fight, trying to get one more person out of that battle. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, not just pieces, not just once in a while, not just when it's convenient, not when the pastor is visiting. This is all the time. This means before you go out on the field, as poor little Rudy went running on when the coach finally said, go ahead, get out there. Remember, he forgot his helmet. One of the guys handed him his helmet. You don't go running out onto the field ill-equipped. Make sure you got the whole armor, is what he's saying, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, those words are put up there. Stand, withstand, stand. It's when is this going to end? I've had people ask me that, and I've asked God, when's this going to end? It's going to end when He brings us home. That's when. So until then, I need to stand. I need to stand right here. I don't need to back up. I don't need to go. I don't need to go try another church. I don't need to get back in. I need to stand right where I am, who I am, believing what I have said I believe, and stand with that so that the next time, because if you think what we're going through right now in any of our lives, the next one is going to be harder, trust me, if you've standed with the Lord. The enemy's got to increase that battle. He's got to bring a new tactic in. So what God is saying, by this armor that I'm going to put on you, you're not only going to be able to stand, you're going to be able to withstand, and then you're going to be able to stand this next one. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. This is a personal part of our life. That's my personal parts. He's talking about a soldier's, you know, uniform. This is what kept him safe, and I need to have my personal parts. I need to have all my innards and my very vulnerable parts girt about with the truth. Remember I said it's a truth war. Surely God isn't going to do that for you, Dawn. Surely God's not going to do that for you, Eileen. Yes, He is. See, my heart now is getting, my personal parts, my having on a breastplate of righteousness. That's like a bulletproof vest. You know, when I read the Psalms, a happy heart sings. When we know God's in charge, when we know I'm covered and everything, a happy heart just, man, you got to praise God. That's why Paul, to the only wise God, to the immortal, invisible, glory, you know, his heart was happy. He was protected. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Man, Isaiah 52, how beautiful, how lovely are the feet of them that bring good news. That's your feet. He said, most people don't want anybody to even see your feet, do you? Let alone touch them. But God looks at our feet because he knows where we're going to walk. He looks at our feet as beautiful. And he wants our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. What that is saying is, be careful where you're walking. You're walking into a minefield. Something's going to blow up on you. You have your feet shod with the gospel. Watch where you're walking, Doug. Walk circumspectly. Don't just take things for granted. Above all, in verse 16, taking the shield of faith, and he's not talking, there were two kinds of shield, close battle, little round thing that you'd go. There were these other ones that cut, I mean, if the guy stood behind it, it was only 4 inches off the ground. If he picked it up, it was over his head. The whole body could be protected from this piece of Roman military armor. This is what Paul's talking about. And he's telling us, taking the shield of faith, don't just take a little, you know, what do they call it, a penknife, you know, that little Bible. You can stick it in your pocket. Get your whole Bible out there. You know, get the big print or whatever. Get the Apocrypha one, the Catholic Bible. It's got 20 extra books in it, you know. He's just saying, get the whole thing, not just a little piece of it. Because with this, you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He's just sitting there and you've got a target on you. It's all it takes sometimes is one little dart. And that shield of faith shows us one thing. When the enemy's pulling the dart, don't turn around and run. Duck behind it. And if you have watched the Vikings on Netflix, shield wall! Have you heard that? Soldiers would line up behind those big things and they'd all get down and all those things would come in and not one of them, hopefully, was taken. That's what we need to do with each other. That's the encouragement. You're in trouble. Instead of me saying, oh, good, now he's going to learn. Oh, she deserved that. Oh, yeah, he's been doing that for years. We're supposed to yell shield wall. Go running into that battle. Get into that place to save our brother, to pull somebody out. Nobody left behind. And I mean, that's got to stand for us too. Take the helmet of salvation. Have a mind covered. It's where the enemy likes to whisper, doesn't he? Oh, surely that's not going to happen. Not in your life. No, God didn't say that. No, that's never going to happen. That's for somebody, a real good, mature, sinning Christian, not you. Put the helmet of salvation on and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's what we're going out with, remember? Pull it together now. Truth war. Praying, don't forget this piece of equipment. Praying, verse 18, always. Prayer is getting lost in the Christian realm these days. There's feelings of it's not powerful enough. God's not hearing me. God's not going to answer that. What is being said here, and I hope it gets said to each one of us, our prayer life, we have to pray like crazy because that time is here when they're not going to hold fast to sound words. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Nobody's excluded. So we're in a war. Fight the good warfare or else it's going to be shipwreck. Hebrews says that if we neglect this word, how else are we going to stand? It's like drifting in an ocean. Doesn't it feel real good? It's out there on the beach. And you drift, and then you look up, and the lifeguard's right there. And then you, oh, this is so beautiful. And then all of a sudden, you're in an undertow, and you're getting pulled away, and then you're getting pulled out. And the next thing, you can't even see the umbrella where the lifeguard is. Remember those days? All he was really interested in was all the girls that were underneath the lifeguard stand. But I want to use the analogy, it's that simple, that if we don't adhere to this, if we don't realize that this is a battle that we're in today, whatever you might be, and the battle, the truth battle is out there. Yours are just skirmishes. Remember I said every war has a lot of battle. He's skirmishing with you guys, trying to pull forces apart, trying to get people separated. The big battle is for the truth. And if we neglect this truth, there's no way, there's no other way that we're ever going to make it back home. Father God, help us understand these words. Father God, help us to hold dear to one another. Help us to see the vision again as you would have us to. And that whoever we are, no matter how small we might seem in the spiritual, theological realm, Father, help us to understand that I'm important and that I can set my mind, I can set my heart. And with your strength and your might, Father, we might just see one more person to come to the love and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So thank you, Lord. Protect us, watch over us. Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's worship, yeah?